This is Word of Mouth from New Hampshire Public Radio. I'm Virginia Prescott. On Sunday, Downton Abbey fans will be treated to the premiere of the fourth season of the acclaimed series on public television. Yes, we've lost some beloved characters, and the fortunes of the Yorkshire estate of the Earl and Countess of Grantham have risen and fallen and risen again. But the service remains impeccable, thanks to Carson the Butler, here educating second footman Alfred in the ways of the proper spoon.
Go on, then.
Teaspoon, egg spoon, melon spoon, grapefruit spoon, jam spoon.
Shall I tell you?
All right.
A bouillon spoon.
But I thought soup spoons were the same as tablespoons.
Ah, so they are, but not for bouillon, which is drunk from a smaller dish.
While that level of persnickety table setting may be a thing of the past, careers in service to the extremely wealthy are not. The number of U.S. billionaires doubled in the past decade, and those hedge fund managers, CEOs, and celebrities need trained staff to manage their many estates. That is the goal of Starkey International Institute of Household Management in Denver. For about $20,000, students can learn how to oversee and care for today's great estates. Freelance writer John P. Davidson attended what's called the Butler Boot Camp at Starkey and wrote about it for the January issue of Harper's Magazine. John Davidson, thank you for joining us.
My pleasure, Virginia.
You introduced the Starkey International Institute to us as a portal into the alternate reality of our new gilded age. Expand on that, a little bit about the setting and the program.
Well, the school is in a mansion near downtown Denver. It's an old Edwardian-style mansion. People go there hoping to enter this world of the super rich. It's sort of interesting because the school is two blocks from Colfax, which is Denver's Skid Row. So you're in two different worlds there.
How long does the program last, and what does it consist of?
The program I was in was 8 weeks. We learned how to set tables. It's very persnickety about that in that sense. We learned how to iron shirts and how to fold clothes and scrub floors. There's a cooking component and a wine component. And then we're trained in things like boundaries. How do you address your principles? How should you be addressed? How do you maintain your independence in the house? It's a very interesting look into that world and into what those houses are like and what those lives are like.
The school was founded in 1981 by a woman named Mary Louise Starkey. Now, who are her clients, or is it those looking for trained butlers or the trainees themselves?
She takes students and she places the students if she can. And her commission or her fee is 30% of the first year's salary. And then she also does consulting for the ultra-wealthy. She says her clients start, that their net worth starts at about $300 million. And then people come to her looking for staff.
You write in your article that there are an estimated 450,000 homes in the U.S. that have some kind of regular staff. And it was made clear to you that the advantage of attending the Starkey School was a kind of near promise of placement in a household. Now, first of all, for what kind of salaries? And secondly, did they deliver on that promise?
The salaries for household managers started at about $60,000. And go up to 80, and I don't know how high they go. An estate manager for running multiple properties or a very large estate might make as much as $200,000. And what I discovered in the program was that what people want is experience in the house. And one of the first questions they'll say, do you have in-home experience? Just having a certification. In some cases, it's enough for some people, but not necessarily.
You heard from the staff and from stories about alums, about where they had been placed. I'm curious about some of the things you learned about what you call the principals, the extremely wealthy, the 1%'s 1%, you also call it. What do they expect from estate managers and from staff?
Oh, goodness, everything. Running these big houses is, they're very complicated. There are always projects that have to be done. There are all sorts of vendors who come to the houses to do everything from roofing to plumbing to florist. And a good estate manager needs to know everything about the house, who's there, what they're doing there, what they need, what they want. A good estate manager needs to be omniscient about the property and the family. It can be putting toothpaste in a toothbrush or cleaning somebody's eyeglasses. Yes, yes. And there's one family that we heard about, you know, very wealthy family, and the family does not handle money or credit cards. They don't touch money. If they want something, they ask one of their staff to get it for them.
Well, it does take a special kind of person to be willing to do service, to be, you know, at the beck and call of all hours, putting toothpaste on a toothbrush. Tell us a little about your fellow students who you all had to refer to as Mr. or Ms. What do you think they were looking for good jobs or to just be in this wealthy orbit?
I think both. During financial hard times, we just, you know, we're coming out of a recession, and people were looking for jobs and looking for a world where money is not such a problem. A lot of people have a sense that they would like to run a house and they would like to do it really well. A lot of military people are drawn to this, former military people, because they're used to serving and they're happy to take orders. So it was a mixed group of people. It was an impressive group of people, I thought.
I also was interested in hearing about their age. These are not college graduates necessarily.
No, and being too young is not a good idea because they want mature people running their affairs. And, you know, being too old is not a good idea either. Couples do quite well. A lot of people specify gay men specifically because they feel like that they're obsessive compulsive, and which, you know, that's sort of stereotyping,
yeah,
I guess.
Quite a sweep.
I think the theory is also that if you are very rich and elderly and you have a trophy wife, if you have a gay butler, you don't have to worry about your wife so much.
Think you know what it's like to run a great estate by reading P.G. Wodehouse or watching English TV series on PBS? Well, we're talking with John Davidson. He's a freelance writer from Austin who wrote about learning to serve today's uber-rich at one of the nation's best-known schools for private service. His article, You Rang, is in the January issue of Harper's Magazine. Well, John, you provide us with a little bit of history of how the help was stratified in the past to be kept mostly hidden, treated not quite so kindly as those in Downton Abbey. Now, how were you treated in this program?
Well, I thought of it as being a bit like joining a cult or something, or being on a reality television show. There was a lot of screaming and a lot of shouting and being ordered about.
You mean by the faculty, by the owner of the school?
Yes. And we were told at the beginning of the program that we were being trained as professionals. We were not servants, but the program was set up so that we were treated as servants. We had to use the back stairs in the house. We couldn't use the front stairs. Everybody was Mr. and Miss. Our first names weren't used. And if you were told to do something, you did it. It wasn't collegial in any way.
Well, the regard for the woman who headed the household, Mary Louise Starkey, seemed almost cult-like. You know, people had that kind of regard for you or her that she was, you know, changing the world, doing something great. Yet she does have quite a history of erratic behavior. Can you run through that for us a little?
Well, Mrs. Starkey says that she's very passionate about this, and she is only trying to help people. She's only trying to tell them what to do. But she was arrested at one point. She grabbed a student, a woman, and pulled her in front of a mirror and in the house and said, "You have to do something about your hair. You cannot have your photograph taken like this." And the woman went to the police, and Mrs. Starkey said that the charges were dismissed. But Westward, the alternative newspaper in Denver, covered it extensively.
Well, you were a witness to some of her, I guess, erratic behavior yourself. For her part, Mrs. Starkey did read your article. She told us in an email that she is becoming hard of hearing and does not always know the level of her voice, and lets her students know this as part of her introduction with apologies. She also noted that you were clearly unhappy and unfamiliar with any household management-related skills during your time there, and she was not sure that you had a genuine heart to serve. Could it be argued that in a program like this, where people are learning to be in the households of people who are, you know, busy, high-strung, often CEOs, heads of company, used to yelling at people, there could be some value in, I don't know, toughening up your hide?
Possibly. Yes, Mrs. Starkey says that 60% of the program is psychological, and I interpreted this, say, like this going through boot camp in the service, that they break you down and then they remake you the way they want. And a lot of the stories we heard about principals, a lot of the anecdotes that we heard at the at Starkey were about principals being extremely whimsical and mercurial and demanding and often irrational.
Well, now, you know, people are going to be watching Downton Abbey over the weekend and loving the program and the dedication of those who are in the downstairs or below stairs, I guess they would say. What do you think has made that show, that concept of those doing service, so popular? I mean, is there a kind of nostalgia for elegant manners, or what's going on here?
It's definitely nostalgia, and I think there's, in Downton Abbey or upstairs, downstairs, both, they looked to a certain extent like a safe world and a complete world. It's also a very odd and unusual symbiotic relationship that that takes place between principals and staff, and that goes back to, you know, Edwardian and Victorian England, and before that, the servants, the hierarchies and household staffs reflected the hierarchies in the aristocracy.
John Davidson, you did your share of ironing tablecloths and setting tables and organizing closets and scrubbing toilets. Do you think you are cut out for a life of service?
I learned that I'm not really cut out for it.
John Davidson, freelance writer. He's based in Austin, Texas. Thank you for joining us.
You're welcome.
You can read John's article about attending the Starkey International Butler Boot Camp, or so it's called, in the January 2014 issue of Harper's Magazine. His novel, The Obedient Assassin, is coming out in January of 2014. Coming up, an ode to the Morse code. We'll hear about an annual celebration that recalls a time when international communications sounded like this.
Calling all stations.
That's when word of mouth continues.